The following interviews and commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
It's time again for Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio with the latest news and conversation related to firearms and your Second Amendment rights. Sponsored by Rogers Auto Repair, Arctic RV, Auto Trim Design, and Frontier Outfitters. And now, Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
Welcome, listeners. This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz, KFAR Radio. Please call in throughout the hour to join us, 458-8255-458-TALK. What is on your mind about firearms today? It is a great day in Fairbanks. Colorful pink sunrise this morning, and the temperature is minus 13. And here at the KFAR broadcasting station, Melissa Burnett is expertly running the board. Thank you, Melissa. And she keeps the Shooter's Corner archives up to date for us, so if you miss a program, it should be accessible in the archives within a day. Thank you again, Melissa. So what's on our agenda today? For history, I'll talk about Master Sergeant Nicholas Oresko, O-R-E-S-K-O, Oresko Medal of Honor recipient in World War II. And I will talk about a few of the guns for rent at the Alaska Ammo Range. I have a heartfelt speech, though some would call it a rant, about locking up our guns in gun safes. I want to speak praises of Masad Ayoub, who Chuck Indereedon is hosting in Fairbanks on July 11th through 14th to provide classes for people just like us that listen to Shooter's Corner. And last, I want to start my review of the Springfield Echelon, and this is going to be a long review, so if I can get it started today, it will go well into next week's program, and it will probably take up most of next week. And yes, everything I say that I'm going to talk about but never seem to have time to on this program is on a list on my computer, and eventually I will get to it, so stick with us. Announcements. Chuck Indereedon's upcoming Alaska Concealed Handgun Permit classes are January 27, 28, and February 24, 25, and I recommend Chuck's classes. Chuck's upcoming free, no cost, free Stop the Bleed class is February 8, a Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. at Alaska Ammo, and the number of students is limited to 20. Stop the Bleed, for the Stop the Bleed class, sign up. I took this class from Chuck. I think the last class did totally fill up. Bring your whole family, parents and kids, any family that uses firearms, and especially if you hunt or are out in the country here, you need this course. You can get an idea of the curriculum by going to the Stop the Bleed website, and Chuck is a certified instructor for Stop the Bleed. The course teaches us what to do in an emergency, including recognizing what action needs to be taken and how to stop the bleeding of a knife or a gunshot wound, how to pack it and use a tourniquet correctly. It follows a flowchart type diagram, so it's like if this is happening, then you do this. If that is happening, then you do that. It's very well put together. Even the young people can understand it. No cost to you. Free. So Chuck Indereedon is donating his time in our community to make sure that we are safe, not only with our firearms, but also to survive any accidents that might happen with firearms or wounds from a self-defense situation. You can sign up for the free Stop the Bleed class simply by sending Chuck an email, and you can sign up for any of Chuck's other classes on his website. If you want to be on Chuck's mailing list or have any questions about Chuck's classes at all or want to sign up for the Stop the Bleed, either call Chuck at 844-966-4079 or go to his website, c4traininggroup.com. And then to email him, there's a link under contact. Just take contact on his website and his email address will come up. Now, Glenn Miller's upcoming NRA Metallic Cartridge Reloading class is ready for registrants on the AIMCOM website. It's April 27, 2024. Sign up at the AIMCOM website or call Glenn at 907-347-1396. And if you want to be in a future reloading class and it isn't listed, a date for you isn't listed on the AIMCOM website, just call Glenn. And as I've said before, Fairbanks is going to be the safest and best trained firearms community in the country. And we have top instructors like Chuck Indereedon and Glenn Miller, excellent range facility choices and training curriculums. And speaking of excellent instructors, Chuck Indereedon is hosting As I mentioned earlier, Massad Ayoub in Fairbanks for two classes. The first is MAG 20, and that's a two-day class. Massad Ayoub Group is what MAG stands for. That's classroom only on the MAG 20. And the second is MAG 40, and that's a four-day class with live shooting, so that's 40 hours, and that MAG 20 portion is included in the MAG 40. And I talked about this last week, and I will do so again many times in the next couple months. Last week, I read the information from Chuck's and Mr. Ayoub's website on the curriculum, and you can look either in our Shooter's Corner archives for January 11 and listen, or better, go to Chuck's website, c4traininggroup.com, and look under course calendar, scroll down to Massad Ayoub's classes, and link on those titles, and that will get you to the detailed explanations of each class. Now, if you want to sign up, send Chuck an email, and he will send back to you a PDF. Fill that out and send it back to Chuck, and he will okay you to sign up for the class on his website. Now, I have already signed up for the MAG 20. Glenn Miller signed up for the MAG 20. My co-instructor, Landon Hawk, has signed up for the MAG 40. So come and meet us. Get to know Chuck Indereed and learn with us from Massad Ayoub, who's a nationally known, highly respected, sought-after instructor. And folks, we do not have these opportunities often, if at all, in Fairbanks. No, for today, I want to say I checked Amazon to get a list of all the books and publications that Massad Ayoub has written and that sell on Amazon. And for myself, I already own 6 of them, and now I see I need to buy some more. I counted 19 books by Massad Ayoub on Amazon. Everything from Deadly Force, Understanding Your Right to Self-Defense, to the Gun Digest Book of Combat Handgunnery, to Straight Talk on Armed Defense, What the Experts Want You to Know, and so much more. So just go to Amazon and search on Massad Ayoub to see all of what he's written. And as I said, I counted a total of 19 publications by Mr. Ayoub, and I always read his magazine articles on my gun magazines that I get. So much of what is in these books is what Massad Ayoub will teach us in person in the July classes. So more in the coming weeks on all of this. Go to Chuck's website, c4traininggroup.com, for more information, or take the link to email Chuck if you have questions. I'm going to talk about a Medal of Honor recipient. We should remember him today, Master Sergeant Nicholas Oresco, born on this day, January 18, but in 1917, in Bayonne, New Jersey. And he passed away October 4, 2013, at the age of 96. And at that time, when Mr. Oresco passed away, he was the oldest living Medal of Honor recipient. Oresco had been a platoon sergeant in Company C, 302nd Infantry Regiment, 94th Division, and he arrived in France with the 94th 3 months after the Normandy invasion. And the 94th was involved with clearing out pockets of German resistance in northern France while the Allied troops had continued to move eastward towards Germany. And I have taken information from the warfarehistorynetwork.com, and I watched several videos featuring Mr. Oresco talking about his life and his own experience during World War II. And I will start by reading his Medal of Honor citation. Quote, Master Sergeant Oresco was a platoon leader with Company C in an attack against strong enemy positions. Deadly automatic fire from the flanks pinned down his unit. Realizing that a machine gun in a nearby bunker must be eliminated, he swiftly worked ahead alone, braving bullets which struck about him until close enough to throw a grenade into the German position. He rushed the bunker and, with point-blank rifle fire, killed all the hostile occupants who survived the grenade blast. Another machine gun opened up on him, knocking him down and seriously wounding him in the hip. Refusing to withdraw from the battle, he placed himself at the head of his platoon to continue the assault. As withering machine gun and rifle fire swept the area, he struck out alone in advance of his men to a second bunker. With a grenade, he crippled the dug-in machine gun defending this position and then wiped out the troops manning it with his rifle, completing his second self-imposed one-man attack. Although weak from loss of blood, he refused to be evacuated until assured the mission was successfully accomplished. Through quick thinking, indomitable courage, and unswerving devotion to the attack in the face of bitter resistance and while wounded, Master Sergeant Orescu killed 12 Germans, prevented a delay in the assault, and made it possible for Company C to obtain its objective with minimum casualties, unquote. And I want to share what Mr. Orescu said about himself and his experience. And I took this information from a Vimeo.com video series on the Medal of Honor Society webpage. And Nicholas Orescu, as I mentioned, was born and grew up in New Jersey. His father immigrated from Russia, which is why Orescu was raised in a Russian Orthodox household. His mother was born in New Jersey, and so growing up, Orescu spoke Russian in his home, but he spoke English directly to his mother. And his father firmly insisted, when he was a young man, his father firmly insisted that Orescu read and study. But Orescu loved sports. But because he was very small in stature, his father told him that sports would not get him anywhere. The emphasis was to read and study. So as a young man, Orescu wanted to be a fighter pilot. And then he said when Joe Louis won his title, Orescu wanted to be a boxer. So he had really big dreams in his childhood. And I think Mr. Orescu would have been 27 or 28 when he entered the Army, and he had been an oil refinery worker in Englewood, New Jersey at the time. And I'm going to stop here. We're going to go to break, and join us around the corner for the rest of this story.
Brian here at Auto Trim Design. Do you have a vehicle that doesn't have heated seats or a remote start, and your significant other freezes every time they get in? Or do you need moose lights installed so you can see down those dark roads? We at Auto Trim Design have your back, literally. With Auto Trim Design behind you, you'll never have to worry. Stop by and let us professionally install your heated seats, remote start, moose lights. Trust me, you won't regret going with Auto Trim Design.
Customized by Auto Trim.
Ice fishing is great winter fun if you're prepared. Before you make your fishing hole in the ice, make Frontier Outfitters your first stop for everything you need. Rods to tackle to ice augers. At Frontier Outfitters, you'll also find the right winter clothing. Not to mention your license, guns, ammo, and a wide variety of snowshoes. ATV and snow machine accessories are just downstairs in Century Hardware. Your next outdoor adventure is waiting for you. It begins at Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle. As you brush your teeth and comb your hair, think about your faithful friend in your driveway. While you visit your doctor or dentist, remember your four-wheeled pal in the parking lot. You do your own routine maintenance. Your car or truck depends on you to do that for them. Call the folks with experience and a sound reputation since 1967. Rogers Auto Repair, from tune-ups to complete rebuilds, airboat and inboard service as well. Family-owned and operated, Rogers Auto Repair.
KFAR weather.
Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today, with daytime highs approaching 10 below. Northeasterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 20 below. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. Partly cloudy tomorrow, 14 below. High of 11 below Saturday, under mainly clear skies. 24 below Sunday. And that's your weather on KFAR, 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back. This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz, KFAR Radio. Melissa Burnett at the controls. Please call in at 458-8255, 458-TALK, and let us know what's on your mind about firearms today. So, talking about the experience on the Medal of Honor Society video that led to his receiving the Medal of Honor, Mr. Orescu said his platoon was tasked with taking two German machine guns on a hill overlooking his men. And obviously, the Germans could see Orescu's men, but his men could not see the machine guns. And every time Orescu's men tried to move forward, those machine guns killed more of his men. And so here's a quote directly from Mr. Orescu in his interview on the video. So after 2 days of battling and preparation with artillery and mortar fire, we decided the third third day we would attack without preparation. We waited until it started to get dark. It was January. It was cold and the snow was deep, and we thought we could sneak up on the machine gun that way. So I told my men, I said, tomorrow we attack at 4:30, no preparation, just be ready to sneak up on the enemy. Next day came 4:30. I said to my men, okay, let's go, move out. Nobody moved. I yelled again, come on, let's go. And again, nobody moved. And I thought, well, someone has to move, so I guess I'll just have to go myself. I looked up at the sky and I said, Lord, I know I'm going to die. Let's just make it fast, make it quick, because I know this is the end. And a cold wave came over me, and you don't feel anything. You're numb. You're not in your right mind. You just go by instinct. So I stepped out of the trenches and by myself, step by step, through the snow. And the Germans didn't see me. And little by little, I could see that my men, one by one, started to follow, but they were maybe 50 feet away and they were no help to me. So I was alone. And you can't imagine how it is to be alone in the battlefield with your men on the ground and the Germans in front of you. What do? You just keep plugging along step by step. And I'd say, well, if I have to die for my country, I'm ready. And then all hell broke loose on the ground, unquote. And Oreski said he did not remember much about taking out the first machine gun. All he remembered was screaming, yelling, shooting, and firing. And Oreski said, quote, only when I was wounded, I came back to reality. I thought they missed me because my rifle belt and my clothing were full of bullet holes. But they missed me. I was on the ground. I was knocked down. But then as I started to walk, I could feel warm stuff coming down my leg, and I was wounded seriously in the right hip. And then I knew I was wounded, and then it started to hurt. And the more it bled, the more blood I lost, and I was weaker, but I was still alive, and that was the most important thing. And I kept trudging ahead thinking I was going to die anyway, so what difference does it really make? And while I was crawling, my helmet hit a wire, and I knew it was a booby trap, but because I was so low, the shrapnel from the booby trap went right over me. I was so low to the ground. And then I thought, I'd better rest a while, so I saw a little indentation in the ground, so I went in and rested, and I said, well, I'll just lay here a while, unquote. And after laying there for some time, Oreski noticed right above him the flame coming out of that second machine gun. And he figured the Germans thought Oreski was now dead and they were re-aiming their gun on his men. So Oreski, he could not retreat from his position or that second machine gun would have killed him. So he figured he would now take out that second machine gun. And he said to himself, quote, great. What I will do now is take one of my grenades out of my shirt and throw it and finish the job, hopefully. I reached in, but the grenades were gone because I lost them when I was crawling. What else could happen? I crawled back about 12 feet, I guess, and found a grenade and put one in my shirt and crawled back up to the same position. They were still firing at my men. I was just below it. I said, all right, here we go. I counted to four. I pulled the pin, counted to four, and threw it in. What the grenade didn't get, my rifle did, and then there was peace. It was so quiet, it was unbelievable. It was over, the guns were gone. And then my men came running up and helping me, unquote. And so after hospital care, Oreski returned for limited duty. And Oreski said that at the time he was invited to Washington to receive his Medal of Honor, his father had already passed away, but his mother was with him. And he said to his mother, quote, well, Mom, I hope this makes up for all my naughtiness when I was a young man, because I think I was a pretty naughty young man. And my mother always told me, remember that in life, you can always do more than you think you can, unquote. And I will leave us with one last thought from Mr. Oreski. He said that when he started out in the military, he saw medals on plaques on walls in military buildings, and he thought to himself, I'll never get that, I'll never get this one, I'll never get that one. And at the close of his video about the medals, including his Medal of Honor, Oreski said, quote, you don't win it, you earn it. But once you are blessed with it, you have it, and your life changes completely. And I think this quote can be applied to a lot of endeavors in our lives. So that's a memory of Mr. Oreski, Medal of Honor. Now, I want to talk about something else that we can earn to change our lives, and that's with working hard to improve our firearm skills. And we have a lot of choices in Fairbanks for ranges to hone our skills, but what we have never had before is a range that actually rents firearms so that we can try them out to get an idea how they might handle for us, or if we're in the market to purchase a new gun, find one that we like to shoot. Or maybe we just want to have fun shooting a fully automatic gun, a machine gun, or a 50 caliber BMG. Now, Alaska Ammo does have a rental firearms to shoot in their range, and the Alaska Ammo new store and range is in the old Pier 1 building. They currently have 37 total guns for rent, including several full auto guns, of machine guns, and a Barrett 50 caliber. And I'm going to list only the 9mm guns for rent today, and next week I'll list several in the 40, 44, 45, 10 millimeter, and the 22 guns, and the rest of the guns, including the machine guns. So that'll be next week. There are some popular 9 millimeters for rent, and now you can rent, try, and compare to figure out which gun you like best or which type of model you might like best. The exact model that you might want to buy might not be one you can rent, but you can get a pretty idea from that manufacturer's gun. And there's a Glock 19, a Glock 17, a SIG P365X macro with a red dot, a SIG P365X with a red dot. There's an H&K USP Expert 9mm and a Springfield Hellcat Pro. And that Springfield, I'm going to talk about the Echelon later. There's a lot you can learn from that Springfield that carries over to the Echelon. So I can't count how many students in the past have asked me where they can try several guns before they buy one. And I used to try to accommodate some of them, but I simply can't meet everyone at the range to try out the different firearms that I have. So now Fairbanks has the opportunity to rent and try before you buy. I mean, you can just rent to have fun. You don't have to buy anything. Compare, find what works for you. And Alaska Ammo is providing this rental service. So Glock, SIGs, H&K, and Springfield Hellcat are there for you to try and compare in the 9mm. So there's no excuses now not to at least try to find a gun that fits your hand best and feels good to shoot before you buy it. Okay, we have 5 minutes, so I am going to start on my comment or editorial, or some would say rant, about gun safety. It's a gun safety topic. If you read the Newsminer or receive email and texts advisories from the Alaska State Troopers, it's called TIP 411 notifications, you know that recently in Fairbanks, a number of firearms, as well as generators, a Toyo stove, Mammoth Irie, a car, a snow machine, and I don't know what other items, were stolen from a building on Van Horn Road. And last Sunday's Newsminer had a long article about the burglary on page A5 and A6, and you can get the details there. And according to that article, 7 people have been arrested so far, ages ranging from 23 to 48. And that just stunned me, that age range of people involved in these activities. The burglary happened sometime in December when the owner found out. He reported it to the troopers, I think the article said, on December 22nd. And the Alaska State Trooper public notifications came out on the 2nd of January. And it listed the types of firearms stolen and various rewards the owner offered for their return. And the troopers provided a link in their public notice to the serial numbers, a list of the guns and their serial numbers, on the serial numbers on the firearms. And I want to talk about the theft of firearms today. The theft of firearms. I do not know the details of this specific burglary or how the firearms were stored by the owner. There has been no mention so far about how those firearms were secured, if they were secured at all. But my point in talking about this is, let's not have any of our Shooter's Corner listeners be the next ones to have their firearms stolen. And have to list for the public the serial numbers of stolen guns in an effort to find them. How can we avoid this? And we cannot completely avoid the crime of theft in our community. You know, as individuals within our community, we can be smart in order to prevent certain items from being stolen from us. We can't prevent the crime totally, but we can be smart in our own homes. There are people among us who will steal for money, with drugs being the likely case. With the theft of guns, it might not always be for resale, it might not always be about money. It might be for the purpose of using them in a worse crime, and we can avoid having our firearms stolen. It could be an opportunistic steal in a burglary situation where the thieves come across your guns during a burglary, or the thieves could target you for your guns, entering your home specifically for the purpose of stealing your guns because they know you have them. And we can avoid having our guns stolen by locking them up in proper gun safes. And I had a student tell me once he kept his gun in a guitar case in his closet. He didn't think a burglar would steal the guitar. That's crazy to me. It's best to use a sturdy gun safe made specifically for that purpose. And please don't say, but someone can break into any safe. Well, maybe and maybe not, but you've done your due diligence. I expect thieves looking for drug money or to use a gun in another crime want a quick and easy steal. So how expensive is it to lock up your guns? Not locking our guns up has two costs we can assign a dollar value to, and a third one, an emotional cost. Now, it costs money to purchase a proper gun safe. It does cost us some time out of our 24-hour day to bring our guns to the safe, lock them up, and retrieve them when we want to use them. But we have peace of mind that our guns are safe from theft. And we're going to go to our half-hour break, and I'm going to continue this little rant around the corner.
Sings raggedy music to the cattle as he swings back and forward in the saddle.
Follow the stories you hear on KFAR Radio online at KFARradio.com.
I'm John Saucier. The U.S. military recently launching its fourth round of strikes against Houthi rebels in Yemen, hitting 14 missiles before they could be launched. President Biden, are these strikes working?
When you say working, are they stopping the Houthis? No. Are they going to continue? Yes.
The United States once again designating the Houthis as a terror organization. They removed that designation in 2021 to help with aid shipments into Yemen. The Department of Justice out with a report on their investigation into the Texas Department of Public Safety's response to the Robb Elementary School shooting in Uvalde, Texas. Kimberly Montarubio lost her 10-year-old daughter in that shooting. She wants local officials to do right by victims and those who survived.
And our state and federal government enact sensible gun laws because Robb Elementary began the day an 18-year-old was allowed to purchase an AR-15.
Police say the report says the police showed up to the school. The shooter wasn't killed for 77 minutes. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
KTVF reports that Fairbanks Airport police and fire officers, along with the University and City of Fairbanks fire departments, responded to a building fire Monday afternoon at Budget Rent-A-Car's detail shop. The Fairbanks International Airport Communications Center received the initial fire report at approximately 3:38 p.m., and firefighters dispatched immediately to put out the blaze. There were no occupants present at the time, and firefighters say no injuries have been reported. However, the affected building, owned by Fairbanks International Airport and leased by Budget Rent-A-Car, has been declared a total loss. The building was used by Budget Rent-A-Car as a detail shop, while their main office on Cushman Street is still open during normal hours. Air operations were not impacted by the event. Firefighters warned the public to avoid the burned structure and its surroundings in case of unverified chemical contamination. The cause of the fire is currently under investigation, and the Fairbanks Airport Police and Fire Department has promised further updates. Pictures of the plume of smoke from the fire rapidly made its way across all social media platforms. The cause of the fire is currently under investigation.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Ride into winter with a friend, your Snowway snowplow. Snowway plows are stronger, smarter, the most reliable plow in the industry. Their wireless controls eliminate messy dash installations and provide the ultimate in-cab flexibility. Better yet, Snowway's patented down-pressure hydraulics increase your plowing efficiency by 30%. The drive-in mount system hooks up in seconds, and their structural plow warranty is the best in the business. Stop by Rogers Auto Repair, your Snowway dealer on Dale Road near the airport, or call 479-6665.
Who turned out the lights? Never get stuck in the dark with Auto Trim Design Moose Lights and backup lights on your vehicle. They're the best in the interior. See Auto Trim Design's wide variety of Vision X, Putco, and VLED lights that fit most vehicles. Stop in or give us a call, 456-8400, and we'll design the right setup that fits your lifestyle. Auto Trim Design's philosophy hasn't changed in over 20 years. We treat every customer the Alaskan way, with honesty, integrity, and respect.
And now, Back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back. This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz, KFAR Radio. Melissa Burnett on the controls. She does that very gracefully, moving these little levers up and down. I can't learn that. Please call in at 458-8255, 458-TALK, and let us know what's on your mind about firearms today. So before the break, I said if we own a safe and lock our guns in the safe, we have peace of mind because our guns are safe from theft. Now, when on the negative side, if we do not purchase a proper gun safe and secure our guns, we have the monetary loss of those guns if they're stolen. We can somewhat balance that with insuring our guns, and I'll talk about that in a minute. We likely will have a replacement cost to replace the stolen guns, even if insured, unless you have insured for replacement value, and some guns you simply can't replace. Collectible vintage guns or guns owned by generations of your family. If your guns are stolen, you will likely have an emotional cost from the ordeal. And I'm assuming that the owner of the guns in this most recent theft authorized the troopers, I'm pretty sure he did, and the news miner to use his name and publicly list the guns. Would you want to do that? Because if you do, in order to get your guns back, now the entire community knows not only what you lost, but if you get them back, they now know what you have. And our sponsor, Frontier Outfitters, as well as Alaska Ammo and Sportsman's Warehouse, all have proper gun safes in many sizes, many price ranges. For a town our size, Fairbanksians own a lot of firearms. And the stores I mentioned have a variety of brand sizes, price ranges, even different colors, discounts on gun safes. Sometimes at holiday time, you can often get a nice discount on those safes. If you leave your guns unsecured, the embarrassment of having them stolen because you did not make an effort to secure them, the cost of any rewards you offer, and the price you pay to buy replacements will likely be more than if you had just bought a gun safe and locked up your guns in the first place. You can pencil it out.
We have a caller.
Okay, caller, you are on the line.
Hi, Laura. Melissa, this is Ron.
Hi, hey, Ron. Hi, Ron.
On your current subject there, I would also point out, even with a gun safe, you need to take some more measures. I knew a fellow a number of years ago who was a local representative or dealer for then STI, which is today's Staccato. But he had a safe that where he stored his products, and it was actually dragged away by the thieves. So you might want to consider some redheads to bolt it to the floor.
Yes, definitely bolt it to the floor. Yeah, or the wall. Bolt it down. You know, I've thought about that with my own safe. I don't think anyone can get it out of there. Bolt them down. If you're going to put them in a large room like a garage where someone can open a door, tie a chain to it and pull it out, well, don't do that. But yeah, that's true. But at least you've done your due diligence, and you're not going to be embarrassed in the community by not, you know, properly locking your guns up.
Just thought I'd throw that out there.
No, that's absolutely true. And I also know of someone, a couple that left the community. They moved some years ago, probably 6 or 7 years ago, but their safe was so bolted into the room it was in that they left the safe for the new people who bought the house. They couldn't even get that thing out of there. You know, that's a very good point. Very good point.
All right,
okay.
Thanks,
okay.
Ron.
Thank you. Thank you. So it's more effective, it's more cost effective, and it's the smarter thing to do to buy a gun safe and lock up your guns. And as Ron said, bolt that safe down. And for all I have talked about this, about the monetary and emotional cost, more importantly than that, as a firearms owner, it's the responsible thing to do, to secure your gun from unauthorized persons, be it children or adults. And when I talk about gun storage and firearms classes, and I have said this on Shooter's Corner, lock up any firearms not in use. Now, the definition of not in use is somewhat personal to each one of us. Obviously, if you're not hunting, your hunting rifles are not in use and should be locked up. If you collect firearms that never get used, lock them up. If your carry gun is also your home protection gun, or you have a different home protection gun, or maybe you have a home protection shotgun, those need to be quickly accessed. And depending on how your home is laid out, if your home protection gun is not a handgun holstered on you, then if you consider that gun to be in use, because it's going to be used to protect yourself in your home, and it is not accessible by unauthorized persons while you are in the premises, then I would not expect you to lock it up until you leave your home. But when you leave the house, if those one or more home protection guns are not on your person when you leave, please lock them up. Even if you have to purchase a few small but effective room safes to lock one or two handguns in it, do it. It might be easier and a time saver for you to have those few smaller safes handy in rooms rather than cart any of your home use guns down to your main gun safe. That takes time and people tend not to do that. You likely won't spend the time to do that every day, make trips to your main gun safe. But if you will lock in-use personal protection guns in a small drawer or shelf safe, as Ron said, bolted, they have holes in the bottom of them for the specific purpose of bolting them to a drawer or a wall, say in your bedroom or your kitchen or your office, you're more apt to use them. And I know Frontier Outfitters and Alaska Ammo have some regular size tall safes, sturdy fire safe safes, very narrow, with a shelf that you can fit a couple of long guns in and a few handguns in on the shelf. So you can put that very easily in your bedroom, a pantry safe for very quick access. And these are normally in the $700 to $800 range. That's the cost of one handgun. If you lose one handgun, that's the cost of your safe. You could have put it in your safe and not had that problem. So there are many choices of small but effective single and double handgun safes also that you can easily hide, like I said, bolt in a drawer or on shelves in various rooms. It will take you a minute to store a gun or two, and less than that to retrieve those guns when you get home. And I don't want any of our listeners to end up with their guns listed to the public by troopers in the News Miner. And I don't want any of us to have to spend money to replace guns. Use that money to buy new guns, not replace the old ones. Some are not replaceable, and some of us may not be able to afford to replace guns. And one more thing about gun safes. I've recently decided to put an empty chamber indicator in all firearms in my safes. And I bought bright green ECIs. Those are empty chamber indicators. That's what I call them. For all my semi-autos, I bought them from Tandem Cross. I buy a lot of add-on things for guns from Tandem Cross. It's TandemCross.com, Tandem Cross. And I just use orange weed whacker line in my rifles and my revolvers. And this is just one more level of safety. When I teach my youth program, all rifles and pistols, when we use them, are always cased with ECIs in the gun. And when the youth are finished for their hour of shooting, they put the rifles and handguns back in the cases with the ECIs inserted into the gun. And we make it very clear, we instructors do not want to open a rifle or a pistol case and see a gun cased without an ECI empty chamber indicator in it. We have those bags numbered. Every kid is assigned a number. That's the number gun he uses. And we will know who didn't put their ECI in their gun if we open a case and it doesn't have that safety indicator in it. So we hope this habit is ingrained in our youth for when they're on their own. So when I go to the range, I have an ECI with me for each gun anyway. So now if I put them in all my guns while they're in the safe, it's always in the gun. It's in the bag. It'll be in the gun, in the bag that I put it in to take it to the range, and it'll always be in there until I'm ready to use that gun. And I also have a few words about serial numbers, photos, and firearms insurance. Take the time to create a list of serial numbers for all your firearms. It's also a good idea to take pictures of each gun. And I keep the receipt for any gun that I purchase, but I do have a few back from the old days that I don't have the receipts for. So do keep the receipts. And if you think you're going to lose the receipts, at least snap a photo and keep that on your computer so that you have it. And all this said, I do purchase firearms insurance for my guns. I use Lockton Outdoor Insurance. You do not need to list the serial numbers, but you do need to let them know a description of any gun worth, I think it is $2,500, just the name and model of that gun. You don't have to give a serial number. So if it's over $2,500 of a gun, you just need to let them know that you have that gun that's worth that amount. And you don't have to list any of your other guns separately. Insurance is for loss, including theft, flood, and fire. If you do not lock your guns up because you don't think theft is an issue, remember, neither did Joe Nava many years ago. He locked up some of his guns, but not all of them before 1993. And it wasn't theft that happened to Joe, it was fire. In 1993, his house caught fire and most of his firearms were destroyed. And he had some firearms insurance coverage through Lockton, but not enough to cover all his firearms, and some were quite valuable. Not only valuable money-wise, but valuable emotionally. And Joe told the story for his book, Not Your Average Joe. So on page 145, he notes that after problems dealing with the house insurance company, it was actually a pleasure to deal with the firearms insurance company, Lockton. Quote, "My NRA firearms insurance policy paid me $13,000 for the guns that I lost. Of course, I lost much more, but that was the extent of the coverage I had purchased. I wish I had purchased more than $13,000. It was, however, enough to buy a fireproof gun safe and replace some of my guns," unquote. And he told this story to all the classes he taught, all of his students, and it always stuck in my mind. In that fire, Joe lost one of his most valuable guns. And let me read the paragraph from the book about when Joe had to run out of his home to escape the fire. Quote, "Whenever I think back to my escape through that door, I wonder why I ran past the most precious gun I owned without taking it with me. I had hung it above my living room door because I loved to look at it. It was an engraved Northwest Territory Centennial Model Winchester rifle that I had won in 1970 at the Arctic Winter Games in Yellowknife, Northwest Territories, when I won the adult aggregate rifle competition," unquote. And that rifle was a 30-30. And since the rifle had not yet produced, when Joe won it, the Winchester rep told all of the match winners who would receive one of the rifles that they could specify the serial number on the gun. And Joe chose 874, which was the score he fired to win the match. And so years after the fire, whenever Joe would talk about the match or that rifle, I could see in his expression the sadness and the emotional cost of losing that rifle to fire damage. So let's take our last break, and I have just a few more words on this subject, and then we'll move on to the Echelon.
Back in the Gold Rush days, prospectors flooded into the interior to make their fortunes in the shiny yellow metal. It was hard work. Tools and supplies were shipped up by riverboat, then out to the mines on rough-cut trails. There was a lot of waiting involved. Nowadays, all you have to do is walk into Century Hardware. That's how it works. You need a tool? Century has it. No waiting involved. You get your job done. Fast. Century Hardware. What you need? Right now.
It's remote start season at Auto Trim Design. We are the only CopyStar Pro dealer in the interior of Alaska. Our top-of-the-line Pro T13 comes with a rechargeable two-way full-color LCD screen remote, and it's capable of up to 3 miles of range. It's waterproof and has a proximity unlock feature. No more fishing for your keys when your arms are full. We pair it with Drone Mobile, which gives you the ability to start your vehicle from your smartphone or smartwatch. Auto Trim Design is your number one remote start dealer.
KFAR Weather.
Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today, with daytime highs approaching 10 below. Winds out of the northeast around 5 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight, 20 below. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times tomorrow, highs level off around 14 below. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back. This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz, KFAR Radio, and Melissa Burnett, expertly on the controls. Please call in at 458-8255-458-TALK and let us know what's on your mind about firearms or gun safes or anything else we talk about on this program. And I just have a little bit more on this subject, and then I'll move on to the Springfield Echelon. So I live on a cliff, and some years ago, a fire started below the cliff and immediately shot up the hill on a windy day because fire travels very fast uphill. And I won't go into the whole story, but the fire was moving fast and it was serious and rapidly burning through the spruce forest surrounding my home. And luckily, smoke jumpers were practicing at Creamer's Field that day, and they were part of the teams that came out to the rescue. And there were several aerial water dumps that they did on my property. Now, my guns were snug in their gun safe, and I did not give them more than a quick thought. That didn't bother me at all. I didn't concentrate on anything they had to do with guns. They were safe. My gun safe gave me peace of mind. I would not have had time to deal with removing firearms anyway. Theft, fire, gun safety, and responsible gun ownership are all reasons to keep our guns locked in proper gun safes when not in use. And even the best fire-rated gun safes might not survive a bad fire if the firefighters can't get to you quick enough. So think about insuring your guns, too. If anyone wants to comment on gun storage, gun safes, or how to properly and safely store your guns within a gun safe, please call in. Share that with us. Thank you, Ron, for calling in. Bolting your safes down is very important. Or if you have stories to share about how having your guns locked up prevented a theft or fire damage, share that with us too. It's important. All right. I'm going to start on what's going to be a multi-hour review of the Springfield Echelon. We'll do the fluff stuff today, and then I'll get into the specifics next week. Now, I have been reading articles about the new Springfield Echelon in magazines for months now, and there are a number of online reviews you can read. I liked what I read. And before I talked about the gun on Shooter's Corner, I wanted to handle one, and I was able to do that at Alaska Ammo. It's not on their current range rental list, but I had ample time to work with it at the counter and do some dry practicing with it. And Springfield refers to it as the Echelon series. And I'm going to share information from magazine articles, web articles, YouTube videos, especially Hickok 45 to start with, who seems to me always honest in his reviews, the Springfield website, and my several times of handling the Echelon at Alaska Ammo. And as I said, this review will span a couple of weeks. There's a lot to talk about, and I won't get into the technical parts of the Echelon until next week. So before I start, let's talk about the name of a gun, Echelon. So names are very important in marketing. And the word or name on an item can attract us to it, make us think it's imbued with attributes we strive for, either emotionally or with physical use of an item. A recent example for me are several Israeli weapons industries handguns. With the war going on now, those things have caught my mind, have caught my eye, like the Aplula, the Maglu by Maglula, that was invented and produced by an Israeli company, first for their military. UPLULA stands for Universal Pistol Loader and Unloader Accessory, if you didn't already know that. I didn't already know that. And when I started seeing articles and advertisements for the Israeli weapons industry, my eye caught the name Masada and Jericho for pistols. And Masada might evoke thoughts of toughness, withstanding siege, or defensive mindset. On Jericho, archaeologists think Jericho is one of the oldest cities in the world with the oldest defensive wall ever built. And Wikipedia notes that Jericho's first settlements date way back to 11,000 years ago. And Jericho has changed nationalities, religious identities through many battles and wars over this period. But the point is, Jericho still lives on. So both the terms Masada and Jericho trigger emotions in people. And if not careful, we might preconceive attributes a gun may have before we even handle it. And that ultimately affects our final opinion and purchase of a gun. So back to the Springfield Echelon, let me reveal what I think is the emotional market drive behind the name Echelon. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with an emotional market drive. I just want to separate how the gun really works with the emotion from the marketing. So I'm going to quote directly from the Springfield Armory website. Quote, in 371 BC, an outmanned army faced certain defeat at the hands of the Spartans. Refusing to surrender, they employed a new formation in a final effort to save their city. By staggering their troops diagonally, each unit behind and to the right, they toppled the mighty Spartan army and invented the echelon, a military formation that is still used today. In the same spirit of innovation, Springfield Armory introduces the Echelon, a superior approach to modern pistol design built around the Central Operating Group, COG. The Echelon is a modular and adaptable striker-fire duty pistol engineered with superior ergonomics and built to withstand the harshest conditions. The Echelon takes its rightful place in front of the pack, unquote. So I think what Springfield Armory is marketing is the association of successful innovation and victory. And for me, that is a great name, great marketing, connected emotionally to a historic event that conjures up innovation and success in use of force against an enemy. And isn't that exactly what most people are buying this gun for, right? So the reason I spent so much time on this name of a gun is that I do experience a pull to investigate products that evoke some sense of strong history for me. But investigation is key, as well as trying a gun out if you can. As you know, I use a line of SIG P365 guns for self-defense, and the Echelon wasn't even on the market when I purchased my 365, so I never compared it to the Echelon, which, by the way, I do like, and I'll talk about that next week. The P65 doesn't conjure up any emotions in its name for me at all, except maybe it might be reliable to carry for 365 days of the year, but there's no emotional connection there. Sig Sauer sells on its own reputation, so does Glock, their models having numbers, not names. There's nothing emotional there, as well as Walther and a few other manufacturers. So be sure when looking at a new gun to check your emotional response to marketing names. And in my opinion, go on the manufacturer's reputation and reputable reports about the firearm and try the gun first if you can. So enough fluff. Let's talk about the mechanics, feel, and handling of the gun from reports by Hickok 45 on YouTube. So he did two videos on the Echelon, and I have a reason, and I'll talk about it next week why I wanted to start here. But he did two videos, and first was to critique the gun itself, and I'm not using that video because I'll do that next week. I'll refer to several articles and my own handling of the gun for that information. The Hickok 45 video is his second vehicle. The one I'm going to talk about is his second video on the Echelon. And in that one, he compares how the Echelon shoots compared to several other full-size duty guns, the 9mm polymer pistols, the Glock 17, and the SIG P320 M17. So I will only talk about his comparison video because that helps us relate the Echelon to tried and true guns many of us have shot, the Glock 17 or the SIG P320 M17. And I will talk about, like I said, the specs later when I get to the magazine articles. Now, the Glock 17 and the SIG P320 M17 and the Echelon hold about the same number of rounds. You can get 17 rounds or 20 round magazines for the Echelon, so 17 plus 1 and 20 plus 1. Same for the SIG P320 M17. The Glock 17, I don't think there's a 20. I think it's just 17 plus 1. After firing all three guns two times at his target, Hickok says he feels the most felt recoil from the Echelon, and that's going to be important next week. I'll address that next week. He likely did not have the gun configured properly for his hand. Hickok 45 did not have access to the multiple backstraps and grip modules, the interchangeable grip modules that change the size and the angle of the grip on the Echelon. He just had medium, and that was provided for him to test. So I can understand if it didn't fit his hand correctly, he might have experienced a little bit more felt recoil. Now, Hickok has large hands. He says both the P320 and the M17 and his Glock 17 grips are fitted out with Talon grips, which adds some width. He said he wrapped both those guns, which he owns, with two layers of Talon grip tape. So again, the Echelon loaner that he has to return to the lender with the medium factory grips and no grip tape wrapped around it, it's going to feel thinner to him, and thus the felt recoil. And nor did it have the back straps, like I said, or the grip module enhancements, which is really the beauty and the flexibility of the Echelon. So not customizing the gun for his hand likely affected the amount of felt recoil. Now, he says that the SIG P320 M17 he liked better. It has a higher bore axis. I have always heard that low bore axis mitigates felt recoil. And his comment sent me on an hour-long bore axis exploratory adventure, and I'll talk about that another time. But the gun he was talking about, it just may fit him better. He likes the trigger on the SIG P320 M17 best, and that gun does not have a trigger safety bar. The Glock and the Echelon, of course, do, like the Glock safe action trigger. Hickok thinks for him, the point of aim is more natural on the Glock and the Echelon. They have a natural feel for him to pick up and aim for him. And on those two, he says he's on the sights right away. So when he picks up the SIG P320 M17, it takes him longer to acquire the front sight, which he notes is related to the grip angle and the higher bore axis. But of course, he likes the trigger on that gun better. So, you know, you just have all these elements and trade-offs. Are we there?
We are 10 seconds.
We have 10 seconds. Folks, I'm not going to go any further. I will pick this up next week. It's really interesting to me. I do like this gun. If I didn't have my P365s, I would seriously consider this gun. I would want to fit all the modules together. Will Dobbs, MD, who writes for some magazines, talks about this gun as the Lego gun, because you can just snap the pieces together and come up with a new angle and a new grip size. And that, I don't think there's another gun out there that can do that. So stay safe, everyone, and we'll talk to you next week.
This has been Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by Rogers Auto Repair, Arctic RV, Auto Trim Design, and Frontier Outfitters. To listen back to this or past episodes of Shooter's Corner, go to KFARradio.com and click on the archives page. For more Shooter's Corner on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com. News and